Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go.
It is the Brian Lehrer Show family meeting on coaching. And now that we've talked about the inner game of coaching, and we'll hear a Phil Jackson clip from his introduction moments ago as the new president of the Knicks, we've talked about college coaching and your non-sports life coaches. We're going to talk about coaching high school students. Yes, just like Friday Night Lights coach Taylor from that clip. Or maybe not. And for that, I'm joined by a trailblazer in the field, Natalie Randolph. She teaches environmental science at Coolidge High School in Washington, D.C. And through this past season, she was their head football coach, only the third woman in the country to hold that title on the high school level, coaching boys. Natalie Randolph, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we can play Ask the Coach here. Your questions about coaching high school or coaching boys versus girls or coaching in general for Natalie Randolph, 212-433-WNYC. Other coaches call in and compare notes. Parents, athletes, former athletes, anyone else. Let's have a nice meetup with Natalie Randolph here to wrap up our family meeting on coaching this two-hour special this morning, 212-433-WNYC. Would you tell us a little bit about how you came to be head football coach? You actually played tackle football professionally, didn't you?
I did for the D.C. women's team, and there are teams all over the country. I know there's one in New York. We played them several times when I was playing.
And what about before that? Did you play sports in high school?
Yes, I ran track all through high school and college. So, you know, athletics has always been a huge part of my life. I wouldn't be where I am right now had it not been for sport. So it's very important.
Did you have some male coaches, some female coaches coming up?
Yes, I did. Actually, I had mostly male coaches, though. Throughout track, I've had only male coaches. Basketball and volleyball, I've had female coaches. But track and football, I've had all male coaches.
And so, not to overgeneralize about gender, but do you see gender differences between what boys and girls tend to respond to in coaching?
Sometimes. I know that there's kind of more of a, I see more of a gender preference, I would say, from coaches to athletes. I know a lot of coaches have said it's easier to coach girls sometimes, you know, if there is a sport that has both boys and girls, a lot of coaches would prefer to coach girls.
Why?
In my experience.
What makes them easier?
I think they say they listen more. I don't know.
Gee, I think the English teachers and the chemistry teachers say that too.
Right. So, you know, but it's all a matter of experience. I mean, I've coached boys and girls. So, you know, either one is fine. It depends on the sport. Of course, in football, I've only coached boys. But we do have girls flag football in our district now. That's an up-and-coming sport.
And in your very unusual crossover role as a woman coaching a boys' football team, were you conscious of trying to do something different than a guy coach might have to do, you know, given whatever assumptions or preconceptions the kids might come in with about you?
I did not set out to do anything different. I did acknowledge the difference. I acknowledged the strange situation. I told the kids, you know, this is a different situation, and we're going to handle it as best we can. I understand that you have reservations. I understand that people have reservations, and we're just going to handle them and deal with them out in the open. And after that, you know, everything was fine in terms of the kids. I didn't do anything differently just because I'm a woman. They didn't treat me any differently just because I'm a woman. You know, we kind of learned each other for who we were and made it work. And we were very successful for a while with that.
Did you have a favorite coach of your own growing up, or one of your favorites who you'd like to mention and why?
I think a lot of my coaches had a huge impact on me. I mean, when I was younger, Coach Gold, a lot of my Sidwell alums will remember Coach Gold, Mr. Dixon, who was my track coach through the summers, and then my college coach, Randy Bungard, was a very, very big influence. And then my football coach, who has now recently passed away, actually, Coach Ezra Cooper. You know, Coach Cooper taught me how to play football, so he kind of is a catalyst for a lot of this football in my career, actually.
And I wonder, since we talked about it earlier in the show with respect to coaching in an education context, and we talked a lot about college, but at the high school level, at the highest level for yourself, how did you see your job as a high school coach?
I saw my job, we were in a work-to-serve environment. You know, I've spent all my entire teaching career in Title I schools. So it's less about the football and more about the child. We focused on developing the whole child, being there for the students, making sure they were student athletes, and ultimately making sure that they graduated and made it into college or some sort of post-secondary education. So that was, you know, that was our major goal. I told the kids all the time, and they know that football was icing on the cake for me. You know, they were there for something larger than just to play a game, that they should use football as a stepping stone to their other goals in life. And by the time they're my age, they wouldn't be playing football. So, you know, they had to prepare themselves to live and prosper in the society that we have today. So that was our major focus. You know, football, we did football to get through because we were called a football program. But really, we were about making sure that these kids did something with their lives that was productive.
Would that there were more high school coaches like you. And listeners, if you want to talk to Natalie Randolph, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Other high school coaches, 212-433-WNYC. Any other women coaches out there want to talk about any gender aspects of this? We've had a lot of guys on in coach roles earlier in the program, 212-433-9692, or anyone, doesn't have to be about gender, can be about coaching and life and positive coaching and educational coaching for Natalie Randolph, 212-433-9692, one of the only women to ever coach a high school boys football team. And Natalie, I want to play for everybody and get your thoughts, if you have any, about a one-minute clip from Phil Jackson, who we talked about earlier in the show in the context of the inner game and spirituality in sport. And they just introduced him as the new president of the New York Knicks. And so here is Phil Jackson speaking at that news conference. And he is asked about his approach. And he starts with a famous coaching cliche.
The idea of developing a culture is an overwrought word in the NBA right now, but that's the cachet, I think, that brought me here. That there are things I believe that players should have that's important for them. They should have the security of knowing that they're going to be supported by the organization, the coaching staff. It's a very tenuous world, as it is to be a player. And so putting yourself on the line, you need to have that support. This is something we want to build for them. We want to build also some things that are very important to basketball players, developing a health record in which injuries are limited, developing a mindset in which focus is a capability, developing the system so that balls are moved and passes are made and people make cuts to create open opportunities for teammates. These are things that are important to me. I know you all know about the vaulted triangle offense, and it's been maligned in the past few years, but I believe in system basketball.
And that was Phil Jackson moments ago being introduced as the new president of the Knicks. The cliche that I was referring to that, sorry, my mistake, wasn't actually in that clip, was he started by saying there's no I in team. Ha. And then he continued talking about how the idea of culture is an overwrought word in the NBA, and yet that's what brought him here. There are things he believes that players should have, support, teamwork, and then he defends his favorite system actually on the court that's known as the triangle. Any reaction to that as you listen to this legendary coach, Phil Jackson?
You know, definitely. It he speaks the truth. It's true. There is no I in team. And although culture might be, you know, an overwrought word, it is very important in team sport. And it's very important in sport in general, because even if it's an individual sport, there's still the interaction between the coach and the athlete, between the athlete and other athletes. And culture can be the end-all be-all to it.
Sally on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sally.
Nice to talk to you. I'm older than most of your listeners, I think, and I grew up in the South when girls only played half-court basketball, and the main thing you did in life was root for the football team, whether it was junior high school, or eventually college. And one of the things I always gave my girls' basketball coach credit for was the fact that she made it fun and she made us learn the rules of football so that we understood the game. Because her view was, you're going to be spending a lot of time watching football as you grow older. You might as well know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I find myself with, you know, lots of younger people today, and I have to tell them, you know, about the forward pass might have been 30 yards of a pass, but it only gained 10 yards because 20 of it was behind the line of scrimmage, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, coaching is a whole different thing in today's world. But I certainly appreciated what I learned.
Sally, thank you so much. Great story. Gail in Yorktown. You're on WNYC. Hi, Gail.
Hi, good afternoon. One of the reasons I called, I'm a former college athletic director, college coach, and now high school coach. And when I coached my little five-year-old, was going to play soccer, I volunteered to coach. And I've been coaching for a lot of sports many years. And when I went into this room, there were 47 people in there, and I was the only female. And as the president was doing his presentation, he stopped, and he stood in front of me, and he said, for those of you who have never coached before, and went on and on, kind of directing that I didn't know what I was talking about. And then somebody stood up and said, you know, she's a college athletic director. Why are you talking to her like that? And I think one of the things that we face is, and which I think is great, it's not about your gender. It's about your knowledge of the sport. Right. You know, I mean, once you learn the sport, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. And I think it's great that you're giving people an opportunity to say, hey, I've learned just like everybody else has learned. You know, right. I'm just as good as a person who may be a male. So I'm very inspired that you have taken on this opportunity because it's very hard, especially for females in a predominantly male sport.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, you bring up a point that reminds me of when I go to the national conference and I walk in to a room of 2,000 football coaches and I'm the only woman. So I can sympathize with you in that.
Thanks for your call. Bob in East Meadow, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi. My question is this. First, I love your show, and the guest, a terrific guest.
Thanks.
But tell me, I'd like to hear her thoughts on the place, well, there really is no place, I believe, of hazing in high school sports and what could be done to keep it in line.
Did you run into it?
Yes, we did. And that's a very good good question and a hot issue. You know, there's always, in any sort of fraternity or social organization, there's always going to be some sort of initiation ritual. And there's a thin line, you know, between what's appropriate and what's not. And a lot of times, you know, if left alone, if left unchecked, it does go toward the inappropriate side. And that's something that all coaches have to deal with. I had to deal with it. We had to nip it in the butt. You know, they had a little ritual that they did before I got there, and I had to say, you know what, this isn't appropriate. We can't do this anymore. This is not team-like. This is not going to help us in any way move forward. You know, we went to camp every year. We did team building things where we could, you know, isolate the newcomers and say, okay, welcome to our culture and, you know, do this so that we can all enjoy each other together rather than something based in ridicule. But I think it's a very touchy issue. It depends on the coach, you know, where the coach, how the coach views it. And how hard the coach wants to go after it. I chose to go after it right away so that we could cancel that because it wasn't productive. It made people it was damaging to some of the kids, and especially in high school. I mean, you can't have,
kids. We will have to leave it there because we are flat out of time. Mm-hmm. Natalie Randolph teaches environmental science at Coolidge High School in Washington. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let's close with a little movie inspiration from a high school basketball coach. The actor is Gene Hackman. The movie is Hoosiers.
If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay?